Inflation has been the big buzzword of 2022. But what does inflation mean for your financial plan? On this week's episode, we take a look at the impacts of how inflation can affect your financial plan. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennycutt here and I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good, feeling dry for the moment. Shout out to all of our listeners that are in flood affected areas, well, all over the country.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So, and I think it's here to stay. So,
more rain coming over the weekend, it looks like, in Melbourne.
So. Yeah, so I was sort of questioning, where does all this sand come from for these sandbags?
That's not
the topic for today. But yeah, even in suburban Melbourne, we saw sort of the flood levels in Maribyrnong, which is not too far from where I reside.
I saw on Twitter today that was just like the streets there with everyone's stuff just all over the streets. It's mayhem. So yeah, it's shocking.
Yeah, and I think we're one for a good segue. So yeah, as the tides are rising and the banks of local creeks and rivers are on the rise, I thought it'd be pretty good to talk about something else that's on the rise. And I know there's only 2 months left in 2022, but I'm going to make a big call. I'm feeling pretty confident that inflation is leading the race to be awarded top prize for word of the year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it'd have to be definitely up there.
Yeah.
It's all you seem to be hearing at the moment.
So I thought this would be a good time to cover this topic after last week we saw wild swings in major share market indexes as a result of the US CPI reading of 8.2. Not the result we wanted, a little bit stubbornly high. So that poses some challenges. And I think what it means is inflation and a result interest rates have risen substantially in 2022 already. And there's a little bit more to come. So I think it's important to understand that it impacts more than just the share market. So I want to talk about some of the different impacts. But I think before we dive in, I guess a little bit of a 101 on inflation. What is inflation? Pretty simply, it refers to the increase in the prices of goods and services within an economy. As inflation increases, the value of your money falls. And the inflation rate, the way we measure it, it measures the percentage change in price levels over time. So if we measure it on a broad scale, and such increase the cost of living in a country or, on a narrower basis, that's what we measure as a basket of goods and services. So when we hear these percentage figures getting read on the news almost every night at the moment, that's what it's measuring, an average basket of goods that consumers on average would buy. So not necessarily what you would buy, because what's in your shopping basket's a little bit different to mine.
Yeah.
Imagine there's no nappies in yours.
Not yet.
So, Zach, how are you seeing the current lay of the land when it comes to inflation? And for our listeners out there, more broadly, their financial plans.
Yeah, so inflation can have a big impact on your financial plans, because especially if you've got a financial plan or you've sat down over the last 2 years, things have changed fairly dramatically over the past year.
I'm hoping people have sat down over the last 2 years.
But you might have just started a plan and you might be going, hang on a second, everything that I looked at has changed. So like with the big ones, when we're looking at inflation and how it impacts your financial plan, it's what we talk about a lot, is that a financial plan is a living, breathing organism. So the reason why it is not a set and forget is because things like this happen in the world. So inflation happens, there'll be different changes to international markets, there'll be changes to insurances, there's changes happening constantly. So you've got to be always flexible and adapting to what's happening. So for instance, like one of the big ones with how inflation can impact your financial plan can be around your retirement goals. So if you are looking, last year you might have sat down and gone, all right, we need $100,000. Well, suddenly that might be looking like $110,000 because your money's not going as far and everything's more expensive. So then that means, you might need to save an extra 10% of funds that you weren't necessarily, or you didn't have readily available. This can throw out your retirement goals. And especially then can mean that you're potentially needing to readjust when that retirement date is. Is this something that you've been seeing, or how do you tackle this, Pete?
I think it's different for everyone. I think if the better prepared you can be, inflation shouldn't be something that necessarily
alters
massively or sort of throws you completely off kilter. Because it's not a permanent state. Look, inflation's not going to be where it is at this current juncture. Mm. So things have risen as a result of the global pandemic and a lot of the stimulus that's happened across the globe. So you look at that and go, you don't want to necessarily plan for inflation being at this level permanently. Mm. But I think your point is good about taking in new information as part of your financial planning. And that's the difference between a financial plan and financial planning. Financial planning is a verb, so it means it's a doing word for those that are our English scholars out there. And I think you've got to continually revise, adjust, tweak, take in new information, and then make the next best decision based on all the information you've got available. So in terms of if you know you're going to be retiring and you're really committed to it, well, you need to sort of build up your cash reserves and make sure you've got adequate funds to get you through that initial period. Because volatility is a sort of a ticket to play. So it's a normal part of investing. Mm. It's a normal part of your retirement planning. And it's going to be volatile in terms of your expenses. And we've sort of lived through this Goldilocks zone for several decades now, where inflation's been really low. So we haven't had to think about, or not in Australia anyway, not had to think about inflation and the cost of living really getting too far out of control across the board. There has been pockets, like energy prices have been steadily on the increase. And I know sort of, you know, services as well over time have gone up, but this has been one that's sort of just jumped. 2022 has been sort of one out of the box.
Yeah. And I think that's where you've got to just, constantly be flexible and be willing to adapt, because the other big thing, like what I'm seeing quite a lot of at the moment, is that we're getting messages from clients, like you might have said, all right, we're doing $2,000 a month into our regular savings plan. Well, suddenly that might be looking more like $1,700 or $1,500 because the spare cash flow is just getting eaten up by not only inflation, but the problems that inflation then creates, like rising interest rates and different things like that. So there's less cash flow, less surplus cash flow, less going into your investments.
Mm.
Potentially people then getting stressed about, interest rates on the rise as well as a result of inflation, which we'll talk about a little later. But that's where it is just about making sure that on the run that you're looking at what's best for me now. And taking in all the new information, going, okay, I've got this much extra cash flow, like what's happening with this?
Yeah, and I think like the point on lending is a good one. So this is one that Australian mortgage holders and those across the globe, most of our clients are in Australia, so we'll sort of focus on the Australian impact. But not only, like, I think lending capacity and lending costs have changed a lot. And lending capacity has changed because lending costs have changed. So what we're sort of seeing as on average, and these are just rule of thumbs, so make sure you are speaking to your highly skilled and amazing mortgage broker out there. So borrowing capacity has fallen by over 20% since April this year.
So that means essentially if you would have got a loan for $1 million back a year and a half ago, then
yeah, you might only be getting something for around about 800. So what that means is this is sort of potentially part of the reason why we've seen a little bit of softness and weakness in property prices as well, because people just can't borrow as much. So and that's the inflation bite as well, where you go, oh, like similar, you know, your dollar's not going as far. And why has this happened? Like the average home loan rates with the big fours jumped from 2.24%. And then you look at as recent as last month, it was 4.15%. And I think most of them are now mid fours. So, you know, that's over 2% increase in your home loan rate.
Yep.
That's going to bite, you know, and you think about what that looks like. Every 25 basis points or quarter of a percent that gets passed on by the RBA, well, on an average home loan, let's use $500,000 as an example because it's nice, easy math for me and it's sort of early in the morning still. If you've got 25 years left on your 30-year loan, it's going to increase it by $74 a month. So that means since May, and sort of going back to where it got to in September, that's an increase of $687 per month on a $500,000 home loan.
And that's money you weren't spending before. It's money, you know, then inflation on top of that, so everything's costing more.
Yeah, and hopefully you've been budgeting for it and you gave yourself some flexibility, so it's not stopping you from living your life. But that's a massive bite out of anyone's budget. And I think like average home loans higher than $500,000 at the moment. So I think that's really important. So if you are planning on either entering the property market or you're a recent entrant to the property market, you're probably going to be more sensitive to borrowing capacity and borrowing costs. A little bit different for those that have had a property for, you know, over a decade and sort of got some equity, but also have paid it down, hopefully, and been really diligent and sort of got ahead on their repayment schedule. So you've got to understand and go have a look forward and go, before I make my next decision in terms of, do I refinance to seek a better rate, a better structure? Do I stretch out my term to get those monthly repayments down? You need to not only make a decision about today, but also like where could rates get to in the coming 12 months and beyond? And I guess the forecast is they're going to get a little bit higher in the short term, at least, before we get any relief. So,
because even hear stories at the moment where I was talking to a mortgage broker the other day and they were saying, you know, for people that have just recently purchased, you know, within a year or two and we're looking to refinance, maybe you can't even get that loan amount anymore for what you have. So sometimes you are also then stuck with what you've got at the moment. You're starting to lose flexibility on the loan front as well.
Yeah. And I think from a lending capacity thing, yeah, make sure, this is a really, really important thing. If you are shopping for properties at the moment, make sure you've got a really current sort of pre-approval. And pre-approval is not guaranteed that they're going to accept it, by the way. It's it'll give you a much better confidence level. But just making sure you update that regularly to go, hey, because what they're factoring in now is the cost of living. They're factoring in the way that banks do your margin for safety and your serviceability calculation, that's gone up. Yeah. So then, again, that's sort of impacting what you can borrow. So you want to just make sure you're sort of dotting your I's and crossing your T's so you can go and shop stress-free. Last thing you want to do is have the panic button going, oh, shoot moment. I love this property. Hey, guess what? I've just signed a sort of a contract over the weekend. And then you go, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Broker,
Yeah, because you need to be aware because it's a changing situation and each month it's going up at the moment as well. So you need to be on top of that for sure because the last thing you want is to be getting told no at the last minute.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to not be able to settle. That's a horrible experience for sort of something that should be a really joyous and exciting time. So what else have you got? Like we've sort of covered off general sort of cost of living. We've sort of talked about lending. What else you got in terms of impact on your financial plan?
Yeah, so I think especially at the moment, another one we're seeing is, we've spoken about it in the past episodes, but insurance premiums are on the rise as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got cost of living insurance is up too. So what I'm getting quite a lot of at the moment is people reassessing how much cover they can have. So in the past, it was more about, like, I want to allocate X amount of dollars to insurances. Well, that's not going as far either, and people have less money to spend, and we know that a lot of the time people don't love paying for insurances, but it is a vital part of your...
Hang on, did you say a lot of the time people don't love it? Like, please show me a person that loves paying insurance.
Maybe someone that's got a claim in the past might...
I still don't think they'd love it.
So that's the type of thing that people are starting to look at, and it kind of flows into how people are reviewing their household budget and where your expenses are going. So are you seeing that clients are reviewing their budgets much at the moment, or have you got any tips for that?
All my clients are reviewing their budgets because I'm telling them to review their budgets. it's a part of life. You should be reviewing your budget all the time, even more so now when everything's changing.
Well, I got a little notification from Stan today that's gone up to $16.50 a month. Everything's going rising. Subscription services.
Well, NBA league passes come down, so 50% discount almost. Yeah, yeah. So I'm happy with that one. So that'll offset some of my other streaming services that I pay for. But yeah, definitely. I think you've got to review that. And I think the thing to understand is, you can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, and there might have been a reason you had that protection in place. yes, the cost has gone up, but it might still be mission critical for your financial planning and protecting your household. So I don't think you just blatantly go trim costs at all at sort of any effort, any length, without really thinking about the ramifications. So while it's not fun, no one enjoys it, I think you've got to balance it out. And it might be, as you would sort of attest to, not necessarily changing the sums insured. Maybe it's sort of tweaking around the sort of fringes with benefits or the structure of a policy might be the way to go. But definitely lifting up the hood and reviewing it is very, very sensible, sage advice in the current environment.
Yeah, and then in terms of household budgets and people looking at that, do you have tips for how people can do or try and save or areas to look at? How do you do it?
Get a budget. Get a budget.
Start with a budget.
Get a budget.
Excel spreadsheet.
Doesn't matter what it is. Digital budget, Excel spreadsheet, something that tracks it and look at it. So don't just ignore it. So it's sort of meant to be looked at. It is a judgment-free zone, but you should be sort of critically looking at it. And like inflation makes it a little bit more of a challenge. It's a little bit more tricky. And it's going to be frustrating because you're sort of looking at it going, when is it going to stop? Because at the moment, we're getting it from all angles. So you go to the grocery store. Yeah, so a lot of those common day-to-day things that we enjoy and need, our necessities. I was just watching The Jungle Book, the bare necessities of life. So so you think of that, like cost of food,
yeah,
you know, heating. We're about to go into cooling. We're going to need air conditioners on, and that's going up, so power prices. But also, you know, fuel, if you want to get around. If you want to go out for a cup of coffee, you want to go out for lunch, or you sort of want to catch up with some friends for a bite and sort of use services, they've gone up as well. So I think everyone's feeling that pressure. So it is frustrating. So I'd like to acknowledge that first of going, this is not a fun exercise. But I think what you need to do is get it out there sort of line by line and go, okay, analyze it. So what are my fixed expenses? What are the discretionary items? And see what you might be able to cut, trim, change, reallocate, but still maintain a reasonably good lifestyle. I think that's important of going, you want your sanity intact once we get on the other side of inflation. So I don't think you're going to necessarily suffer, but sometimes sacrifices need to be made. And then when you're looking at that line by line, you go, see, what are the big expenses? And I think debt's going to be a big one for most people out there. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can, have a chat to your broker, have a chat to your bank, refinance your debt, restructure it at a lower rate. Maybe shop around for those energy costs as well. See what rebates, see what discounts might be available for a move. And, you know, investing some sort of time online, doing some searching, speaking to other people, and maybe changing providers might be worth it, or asking your existing provider. Yeah, so I think it's worth lifting up the hood and having a look at. And then I think on the other side is going, there's two parts of a budget. There's the expense side, but there's also the income. So what can you do to change your income? This one might be a little bit more challenging. We don't always have a hell of a lot of control over that, but it might be something you can do to go, hey, have you asked for a pay rise lately? You know, it's a... do you feel like you could change roles or sort of look for a promotion or upskill and do something a little bit different? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a side gig or something different. Other
massive on TikTok at the moment.
Is it?
Side hustles.
Is it? Yeah.
People with vending machines and ATMs. And
yeah, I don't know any of these. These things sound... you might want to do due diligence and make sure it's sensible. But I think like the common one is invest in yourself and sort of try and help your earning rate go up at least in line with inflation, if not a little bit higher. So that's the other one. There's, you know, that's the two jaws of a budget, is the sort of income and expense. It's much more fun to increase the income than it is to decrease the expenses. I'll give you that hot tip.
Yeah. And also, when the inflation figures in the US came out last week, we saw large swings in investment markets. And
Well, partly the swing up was the relief we thought from the UK policy madness, but investments are volatile.
Yeah, so with interest rates and the impacts on investments, do you want to run listeners through what inflation can mean for their investment portfolios as well?
Look, a reasonable amount. Inflation's not all bad, so it sounds like we're really poo-pooing inflation here. I think the target range for inflation is 2-3%. And that's so people, there's this wealth effect. People feel better if things are going up a little bit. Yeah. No one wants to look back and go, oh, I was earning $50,000 in 1980 and I'm earning $50,000 in, you know, 2020. That just doesn't feel right. So things need to go up. So it's desirable in an economy. It drives economic growth and consumption. But the trade-off is in periods of high inflation like we're experiencing now, and this is sort of, you know, haven't had this sort of level of inflation for over four decades. So performance amongst different asset classes can differ significantly. So real assets such as property, infrastructure, commodities tend to increase in line with inflation. And inflation, I guess, can impact supply and demand. And that's the trade-off. So equities, if they're a growth company, so you're seeing like especially technology-based high growth companies where you're paying up well in advance. So you're paying for future earnings. That's where most of the valuation's captured. So that's that discounted cash flow forecast. A little bit different to value companies that are have a lot more earnings now. So you're not paying up for as much of the future because it's already happening today. So they're a little bit more resilient. So what you want to have a look at is going, well, what types of investments do I have? Are they more sensitive to inflation and higher interest rates? And even things like fixed income, traditionally a very defensive asset class, have seen double-digit negative capital results. And they have an inverse relationship. So higher interest rates actually impact bond prices negatively. So, you know, high periods of inflation, you really want to be looking at quality. So businesses that are going to be resilient through this period, because they're, you know, we're feeling it in our household budgets. The company's balance sheet, their cash flow are all impacted as well from inflation. So, you know, the cost of people is a lot more expensive. The cost of inputs, so cost of supplies have all gone up. So it's not just happening for individuals, the businesses are feeling the pinch as well. So that margin pressure is hurting there a little bit. So I think from what I would suggest is you want to be diversified, but also sort of be aware that the types of businesses you want are the ones that are going to be the ones that stand the test of time. So high quality, the best of breed, that's what you want to have in your portfolio. And that even those companies are not going to be immune to it. So I'm not sure what you've got in your in the drawer in terms of investment portfolio. But yeah, for growth investors, and I think you would happily sort of identify yourself as a growth investor.
Couple of months, 12 months.
Yeah, and I think you see it pretty clearly, like comparing, like the obvious ones, you compare like the NASDAQ versus the S&P 500. Yeah. There's, you know, a significant gap that's opened up between that. And I don't think it's because the quality of the companies are any better or worse. It's just, it's different. So you got to feel like, are you comfortable with that level of volatility in your portfolio? And in the fixed income world, you might just want shorter duration. So do you not want to take on the volatility of having bonds in your portfolio? Maybe you have term deposits. Mm-hmm. So long term, potentially not going to return as much, but are going to be a hell of a lot less wild swings if we do get periods of high inflation again in the future.
Definitely. Before we wrap up today's episode, is there anything else that you'd leave clients with or listeners with in terms of how inflation can impact your financial plan?
Well, I think of it not just your financial plan, but financial planning. Let's do the doing word. And I think just be comfortable this is not permanent, but revisit it. So look at all aspects of it. So, and I think that's going to set you in pretty good stead. And I know it's tough at the moment. People are feeling it out there. So if you're not sure, have a chat to someone, you know, get some advice. Even if it's booking in like a quick chat with someone that sort of knows what they're doing, whether it's what's the main cause of concern for you? If it's debt, go have a chat to a broker or have a chat to your bank. If it's your investments, have a chat to your advisor or your share trading broker or whoever it is. But get out there and get some advice because it is really unsettling. And we haven't been through this for decades. So the fact that you might be a little bit discombobulated, is completely
the first time you're going through it in your investment
journey. Well, for a lot of people it is. So I think give yourself a bit of a break and have a chat to someone because it's completely normal to feel like this is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
because it is.
Very good. So as always, if you've got any questions, feel free to email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
See you.